Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. For those of you who are brand spanking new to this show that's been going for 11 years, welcome. And some of you, I know some of you have been around since day one, which blows my mind. And I am so, so grateful for every single one of you that listen to the show, whether you've listened to one episode or this is your first, or you've been an avid listener, everything counts. And I appreciate all of it. And sometimes my topics are related to things that people have written in about that have asked me to do a topic about that. Some of them come from talking to friends or clients, and then I'm inspired to talk about the topics that they were asking about. This particular one came from a conversation I was having with somebody who kept on going on and on about successful children come from specifically parents who are married and specifically affluent. And I was like, I think your research is flawed. Yes, they might have a little step forward or step up by having more access to resources. However, how do you actually term successful relationship it was what came out of my thought is like, you might think those people are functional, but many of them have a lot of dysfunction going on, but they do have the money and they might have resources for things like going to have better education or have better healthcare, that sort of thing. Does that mean that they have a better chance of success in life? Not necessarily. Is that an opinion? Probably. Is there research behind it? I think we will only get research when the research is willing to be funded to look at and track people who track, you know, entire lives of people and do comparative studies on, you know, on that. And there are some studies out there, but again, studies are limited. Stats are limited by the sample of the people who are taken in those stats. So that just got me thinking, what actually makes for a successful relationship? And I know that if you are an avid listener, you hear me talking about things like communication and consent and curiosity and also being present. And being constant is helpful too. Constant when you're like reliable, right? So there are a lot of things that can contribute to a successful relationship for sure. And there are a lot of things that can create doom. You could say that the relationship is doomed. So how do we know the difference? I think I want to give you reference that the Gottmans, who have the Gottman Institute, are and have been studying relationship dynamics, PhDs in psychotherapy and relationships and all that great jazz. They have phenomenal research that backs why relationships function well and why some of them are falling apart. We will talk about some of their stuff. What I'd really like you to do today on this show is, as I ask questions, I'd love for you to reflect on your own self and your own life and your own relationship or relationships. So for the most part, in this case, we're talking about relationships with a partner that would be like a lover or a spouse, anything like that, where it's more intimate based rather than, say, familial. But you can look at this as friendships as well, or just family. You know, all these dynamics can actually cross a lot of these dynamics can cross over to different things. So we'll look at how it is mainly in an intimate relationship. Okay. Good. So now we know where we're standing and what we're talking about. And why do we even need to look at success in relationships? For me, one of the reasons is that I have a lot of people that have been coming to me, especially in the last year, who have been experiencing like an immense amount of grief and loss in relationship and things that are just taking them by surprise, that they just feel like they had the wind knocked out of them and like the rug pulled from under them because they had no idea and they didn't see it coming. It being a partner leaving, like walking away out of their life, not necessarily death. Death usually blindsides people anyway. This is like when your partner walks away and you think everything was hunky dory, but really, were you listening? Were you paying attention? Well, what was really going on and what was neglected? So the Gottmans have reference that are kind of a really cool reference to they have a term that they use called the Four Horsemen, and I think it's a great term. So the Four Horsemen, if you're not familiar with, is like a term that references the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. So basically it's like how you know something is about to fall apart. And one of the so when we look at those four horsemen, the Gottmans research identified that there were basically four destructive communication habits, the relationships that are pretty much in the failing zone we're going through. And I'll give these to you because I think they're super valuable to have, because sometimes people think that at least one of these is supposed to be a constructive thing to do. And I don't agree that it's constructive. So, and I actually called myself out on something, and I'll tell you guys about that too, because just as an example of we're not all perfect, and even those of us who do, do our own personal work, but also who do work with others, sometimes we slip. And I will let you know about that. But so some of the destructive patterns are criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. So criticism, let's give an example of that, is criticism is like where somebody doesn't do something good enough and you're like, wow, you didn't do blah blah blah. Oh, you could have done this better. Oh, you could have you're never on time. You're never enough this. You're never enough that. So I rarely do this, but yesterday I had a little moment where I became a passive aggressive shithead. And so I came home to a stack of dishes, and my comment, which was so passive aggressive, and if you guys are watching on video, you're like, you probably see my head hanging in shame. But I was so passive aggressive and such a little shithead. I was like, so how long do I need to be away for the dishes to get done? That was just a wee bit sarcastic and a wee bit passive aggressive, which wasn't actually kind or okay. And I realized that it was shameful. My husband had done a lot while I hadn't been at home. So I wrote an apology to him because he is hard of hearing and I wanted to make sure that he could read it and process it. And I know that he got it because he had made a reference to my apology. So I think call yourself out on it and then don't do that again because it's not kind. So I wanted to let you guys know I'm not perfect. What I do though is if I am being a shithead is I call myself out on it, so that it, doesn't have to be that I get a criticism or that my husband holds contempt for me, gets defensive, any of those other things that could happen, stone walls, just total ignoring. When we first started dating, that was his go-to, and I called him out on it, and he's not done that since. So, yeah, it's not a common thing for me to do that, and I don't know what came over me in that moment, but I was being a little shithead, and so, yeah, I'm aware of that, and I needed to get back into my gratitude groove. And by that, I mean, I needed to remember all the million things that I'm grateful for about my husband and get over the effing dishes. And I did the dishes in like 5 minutes. It didn't matter. So could I have sat around and just like found more things to criticize and then be like upset and defensive? I could have done that. Could have I stonewalled him? Yeah, I could have. Could have I created a destructive pattern in the relationship that could have ended what has been a really great 12 years? Yeah, I could have. I could have like just created like a ticking time bomb. Could have done that. I chose not to. I chose to resolve it. So laughing at myself and like, sometimes you catch your inner child just doing something a little wacky and you're like, wait a second, where's that coming from? The good thing is normally I don't even say it and I can catch that in advance. And I don't know, I think I was just like filters down. I was tired. And it was, yeah, it wasn't cool. So if you find that you are in a relationship where somebody is highly critical of you, always telling you you're not good enough, not smart enough, not this, not that, even correcting you, like talking over you to tell you how you're supposed to think, that's great too. If you feel like the person has contempt for you, or if you have contempt for them, then it's probably going to fall apart. So my child's biological dad, yeah, I had a lot of contempt for him. And I don't think that contempt had a way of resolving itself because there was a lot of abuse and towards me. So then as a result, I really just didn't like him. All right. Then there's defensiveness. It's like always feeling like you have your back up against a wall. Or that you have to defend yourself constantly, and also I encourage you to kind of like examine these words for yourself and how do you feel they play out and how have you seen them play out for other people? Because you might have seen this in people, you might have seen it in your parents, you might have seen it in people that you know in their relationships, and you're like, aha, I see this, stonewalling, all of those things. So by all means, you can check out more work by the Gottmans. We are going to talk about like a fundamental principle that they have as well called the 5-to-1 ratio. And in their research, they found that as long as couples have at least 5 times more positive interactions than negative ones, their chances of having a successful relationship is really high. So I just gave you guys some pretty fundamental, basic things to look at around how do you know if something is going to be doomed, and how do you know if you're going to have success? But then how do you evaluate those? Because some people don't actually sit back and look and go, you know what? I had a lot of good things going on. If you have 999 things that are great and one thing that just annoyed you that day, it's okay. You're actually doing okay. And if you just like I had that moment and you might have had a little moment, and you correct yourself, that is it's better to do that than to be in denial and say, I would never. No, the chances are I probably moving forward will be more aware of that even, but I might do something else dumb. That happens. None of us are perfect. We all do something a little dumb here and there. And it's just a matter of calling yourself out on it and seeing where you can improve. Now, when you make those choices to see where things can improve, you have a heck of a lot more chance of thriving in your relationship than just surviving or falling into, Mount Doom. So, for those of you who like Lord of the Rings references, Mount Doom. All right. Then we've got there also the Gottmans talk about something called the sound relationship house. And it talks about the core concepts of strong relationships, how they do things like building love maps, sharing fondness and admiration towards each other, and also turning toward each other and learning how to manage conflict. And we talk about a lot of these things in this show, just might use different words, because most people who are doing relationship therapy work are working with these core concepts in a lot of different ways. Some of them have worked probably with the Gottmans and renamed some things on their own. Some of them probably also were on the rise at the same time as the Gottmans. So we look at other researchers as well, like Gary Chapman, who is, I would say he's a researcher, but mostly he's a minister, and he was doing a lot of therapy with people because of his ministerial work. And so he did the five love languages. And, taking the foundation of how do you love is really important too. And if you feel like your love languages are being met, then guess what? The success in your relationship is likely to be higher. You probably also, when you looked at this show, noticed that I had a bunch of things that I wrote down as a reference for like some ideas that I had for this show. And I will be talking about those as well. I just wanted to give you guys some basics of where my information comes from, what we're going to be looking at, and all that fun. So you are listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we will be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email. info@MilicaJelinich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we are talking about how to know if you are having a successful relationship. Is your relationship successful, or is it likely doomed? So in the last segment, we talked a little bit about the work of the Gottmans and the how do you know if it's doomed? We talked about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They just call it the four horsemen, but the four horsemen of the apocalypse would indicate that something is gone awry and the apocalypse is about to happen, which means things are doomed and not going to grow. So one of the things I think we need to look at too is how do you know if, for example, like, how do you know if you are in a successful relationship or not? And I think one of the good things is to be questioning that anyway, because maybe, and I have this question further down, was like, what happens when people think that everything is fine, but their other partner is like, no, I'm not happy at all? Well, that disparity in who's happy and who's not, that is likely going to create downfall at some point because there's a lack of communication. So if you don't feel like you can say anything because your partner always goes on defense and tries to explain away, like, well, I did that because you hurt my feelings, instead of saying to the effect of, you know, when I feel hurt, I lash out like a child. And now that I'm doing like self-evaluation on that and I'm aware of that, I will look at better ways and I will let you know when I feel hurt and what it is exactly that had me feel hurt. That would be more constructive. That's taking ownership. I feel hurt. And then acknowledging the behavior that you do, I lash out like a child when I feel hurt, and acknowledging what the trigger was, you say, so these, certain language can trigger me or certain things trigger me. And it would be more kind if we could try something else. And then maybe giving an example of what works better for you, because essentially, we're all working on this. Nobody is perfect in this, and always finding language that works for you and your relationship is more helpful than, say, somebody putting words into your mouth. But you can also learn how to take ownership of your feelings. So that's really helpful in knowing that your relationship is successful as well, is that you're willing to take ownership for how you feel and for your behavior. It's called growing up. And some of us, like me, sometimes we have a moment where it's like, bah, I'm having a moment. Yeah, and I'm sure there's going to be somebody out there who's like, you're probably just premenstrual. No, I wasn't. I was just moody. Moody because I felt like it. Maybe because I was tired. Maybe because I was moody. Maybe just because. Anyway, so to me, I have it broken down. I just was like, what are these? Like, there are some levels here. Where you could be succeeding and knowing you're succeeding in a relationship, you could be working towards success because you know there's things to improve. And then there are times when you just know it's doomed. And at that point, it's like, hey, how do we navigate getting out of this situation? You could be doomed and come back from doom, though. That is possible. It takes a lot of determination, a lot of self-evaluation, and also being often willing to even take the space to find out who you are outside of the relationship doesn't mean that you're divorcing necessarily. It could just be taking space and time, even on a daily basis, to do self-reflection. Sometimes, though, taking physical space away can be helpful too, to see and acknowledge what you appreciated about the other person. And then when you figure out what that is, definitely share that with the person. So one of the things I think it would be great as a self-reflection question is to just ask yourself, how do I know if my relationship is successful? Like, what are some of the things you feel that make a relationship successful? Aside from everything that the experts say from their evaluations and from what they do with experts, you know what? You're actually probably the expert in your own relationship. And what we do as coaches and what people do as therapists is that we give you tools, we listen, and we figure out and navigate ways to make things better for you. But ultimately, what's most helpful is that you know you and you know what success would mean to you. And sometimes success for people can be that they just want to have open dialogue, which is a great step for success. Open dialogue is incredibly important. Open communication, being able to share your feelings without feeling like you're being attacked or having to feel like you have to defend yourself all the time. So write down for you, if you have like a notepad or if you have like a thing on your phone that you can write notes in. Or even if you just have like a, you're driving, you want to auto re record. You can do this now if you want, but just give me, I'd love to hear what you think makes a relationship successful. How do you know if it's working? I ask that specifically because a lot of people do not know if it's working and they can go through like, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of marriage. And in fact, everything about their marriage is all the four horsemen. And you would look at that and you would go, wow, where is the love here? Where is the kindness? Where is the learning? Where is the all these things that actually would have growth? And some people are so in it that they don't see how much or how destructive the relationship is for both of them. And some people feel stuck for certain reasons too, whether it's financial or they're just like, it's been so long, I don't know any different. That happens a lot too. So if you've never really sat around and wondered what makes a relationship successful, this is a great time to think about that. And do you think your relationship is successful? If you do, what is it that you feel makes your relationship a success? I'll let you guys ponder that. I'll tell you some of the things that I feel contribute to success in my relationship. And I bet a lot of you guys know if you're avid listeners, because I talk about it all the time. And it's, I think, I don't know, I'm willing to like let you guys in on that because I think it's helpful to know we're all just like people living through things. And also just check in with yourself too and see if you have similar goals in life. Like, what are your targets? What do you both desire to have, be, do, create on this planet? What's the energy that you want to bring? And it's good to know what they are, even if each person is like a little different or very different. It's just good to know where your targets are. If you're in a relationship with somebody and say you're a highly spiritual person and you're not motivated by material things, then being in a relationship with somebody who's highly material might benefit you in a way, because you're not the person looking to make money, but you're looking to do something else. And maybe you invite into their world something that is more of a spiritual awakening, or you. So even though they could be different, it can work. And so it's not to say it won't work. It's also sometimes if you have two people with similar goals, like they could have similar goals of, oh, I just want to like sit on a beach and do nothing and like hope the universe drops a winning lottery ticket in my lap for like $5 million. But other than that, I don't really want to have to put any effort into the relationship myself or life. And they're both having the same attitude. Now, as much as that sounds like it could fail, they're both in the same zone and that can actually work. But if you have one person who is more motivated than the other, it can be a bit frustrating for the person who's not motivated. A bit frustrating for both, actually, because it can feel like a bit of control that happens when one partner is more motivated and trying to encourage the other to get motivated. There are a lot of things you look at when you look at relationships, and there are different assessment tools out there too that are available. Some cost a fortune and some are more simple, and some are like those ones that you would find when you were a kid, I don't know, a teenager in those teeny bop magazines. Is your relationship going to work? Will you marry the boy you're dating right now? Anyway, those ones. There's those really weird ones. And then there's the ones that are truly geared to evaluate a relationship and the potential for success, where you can look at different things like where there might be different values that are there that are vastly different, which can be tricky to navigate unless you have conversations about it. I have some relatives who were like married in 1974, and before they got married, they had a discussion that they will never talk politics or religion, because they knew in their hearts that they were vastly different in those areas and that those two conversations would create a lot of friction for them. So they've been together 51 years and they have a highly successful relationship from both an outsider's point of view and probably from an insider's point of view. They support each other emotionally. They support each other physically. They know how to navigate all the things that need to be done around the house. So they're shared equal responsibilities. And financially, they are responsible enough to be able to look after themselves and to create like a legacy. So there is something that can work about that, even though they have different values when it comes to politics and they have different values when it comes to religion. They knew that off the bat, but they also knew that they loved each other more than they cared about that stuff, because ultimately their same targets in life were to, you know, have a family, to be able to be with each other, to love their children, to raise their kids, to all these things, right? The average person, that's what they want. The average person just really wants some basic, humble things. And that is success. And whether your house is like a 15,000 square foot house, or you have like a tiny little 600, tiny little home, like 200 square feet or something, maybe you're living in your van, whatever it happens to be, that's your home. And you, whatever situation is, as long as the two people who are involved are saying, you know what, this works for us, then good for you, because you don't need to have the mansion if you like the van life, and you don't need to have the van life if you want, you know, and have the mansion and you're happy with it. So your values, as long as both of you are in line with whatever's going on, that's great. And sometimes it's okay to have very different ways of being on the planet, because one partner can be more grounding for the other. As long as you're willing to receive that person in who they are and how they show up. So if you are the more spiritual and your partner is more material, as long as you see them for who they are and you're like, you know what, you are the material one, and it's okay, because we need material things on this planet, like money, to be able to buy things, and that's okay. And the material person might be like, you know what, I really appreciate that you bring the spirituality to this, because this is not the thing I have time to read or think about. So every time you want to sit and pray with me or meditate with me, fantastic. You know, and giving each other the space and room to show up as who you are, that can be highly successful. It doesn't mean you have to be the same. It can be helpful if you share goals, but you don't always share goals. Sometimes you invite your partner into your goals, and then they're like, hey, didn't even know I needed that or desired that goal. So that's a very cool way to be too. So we're going to head to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seeker. Many of you, I hope. So if you're listening to this program, you're probably wondering if you are having a successful relationship or not, or maybe you've been in relationships that haven't been successful for a while and you don't really know what it is, like what keeps happening, like what's the trend that keeps showing up. And for the most part, I think also a lot of people think, yeah, we've got these, like we've got communication down, we talk. Okay, so you need to look at what are you talking about. Yes, you might be talking, you might be saying things about you know, this and this happened today, this and this and this. But you might not be diving into, you know what I noticed? I noticed personal growth in myself today. I saw this thing and I realized that this is something that I used to maybe criticize or judge. And today I saw it totally different. Now that's a far more interesting thing to talk about than, oh my goodness, did you see Jane and Frank's house? That's really funny because I actually know a Jane and Frank. Just since I'm saying that, did you see their house? Sorry, Jane, if you're listening, it's not really about you guys. But do you see their house? They had 13 dogs on their front lawn. They were all pooping at the same time. Does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. That's just there to like rouse conversation and see if somebody side, you know, is like, oh, that's disgusting. Like, are you just trying to get somebody to side with you? You know, trying to be divisive, or are you trying to show, you know, what you feel and how you think and how you perceive the world? Like, I suppose you could take that 13 dogs on the front lawn and go, wow, I saw 13 dogs today. And they just all looked so happy, rather than, you know, going to the part where it might be like, oh, and they pooped on the lawn so much. Like, okay, well, that happens. That's what dogs do. What's your point? Right? Do you get where I'm coming from? So you can take different takes on things, and it doesn't always have to be complainy. And yes, you can complain. Complaints are valid as long as you do something about them. But if all you do is complain, you're going to actually create a lot of stress in your body. It is complaining creates more stress hormones. They're not happy hormones. So if you do complain, find a way to either shift that thing that you're complaining about. It's like, oh my goodness. Like last night came in, did my little passive aggressive crap. And then I was like, you know what? I can change my attitude on this. I could complain about it. I could be critical. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do the dishes. It'll take the stress off of me. It'll take the stress off of everybody here. I will feel better. And then good. Done. What I hadn't realized when I just walked in and only saw the kitchen was that my husband had also cleaned the entire fridge while I was gone, did like multiple loads of laundry. Did a whole bunch of outdoor chores because I arrived when it was late. Yeah, I failed to notice all the phenomenal things he had done in a day, and managed to catch the one thing that I was going to be a bitch about. So if you're a bitch, if you were being a bitch like I was being a bitch yesterday, put yourself in check and start to check and see, are there things that you're grateful for? Is there something that your partner does for you that you never say anything about? And as much as we all have, you know, things we do, we all have our things we do around the house. You know, there's like, I don't know, we have like given chores around the house. We don't, my husband doesn't ask me to do dishes and I don't ask him to take out the garbage. We just all do our thing in this house. So there's often times where, you know, we're might go a few days without saying thank you to each other for something. And reminding that and bringing that back into the conversation can help you feel valued. It's also one of those five love languages of affirmations and being able to words of affirmation. So saying thank you, but also stating what you're thankful for. I'm so thankful that, you know, you're always so thoughtful and thinking about how to make our life better. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for the way you are, even with strangers, and your kindness, like all those things. Great to hear. Tell people about their qualities and how great they are. They love to hear it. And I'm sure more people would love to hear it even more. So use those love language tools that if you haven't listened to my episodes with the love languages, I discuss them in so many episodes. I don't know, probably at least 25% of my shows have had conversation about love languages in them to some degree. So wanted to mention all that. So one of the things I'd also love for you guys to do, so you kind of took your notes earlier in the last segment on like, what is a successful relationship? How do I view success in a relationship? Am I in a successful relationship? You know, just some yes and no's is cool. Like, yeah, I don't even know what a successful relationship is. So I encourage you guys to look at maybe five things and rate them from 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being yay. So number one, how do you feel like your communication is? Do you feel heard? So communication is going both ways. Do you feel heard? And do you feel that you can be vulnerable enough to say exactly how you feel, to ask for what your needs are, to communicate even things to your lover about your desires and how you love to receive pleasure? Are you shy about that? Like, there might be some communication you're okay with, but other communication you're not okay with. And how do you feel about communicating about money? So money and sex are those things that people always talk about. They're the reasons why people's relationship fails. It's actually way more than that, as if you actually do tap into the work of the Gottmans, you'll see with the Four Horsemen that it's far more than sex and money that will have a relationship be doomed. But those will play into a lot of those things, like the resentments and all of those other things that people will hold on to. So like criticism and contempt and defensiveness and stonewalling, all of those four horsemen, they will play into the downfall of a relationship. So let's look at the things that, and I mentioned that with communication, because if you can't communicate, and then you resent your partner, you feel contempt for your partner because you're like, I can never tell you, and you can never tell you how I feel because you never listen to me. Well, that's a big one. That's contempt. You really probably don't like the person very much, or maybe they have an addiction and you're just tired of it. Maybe you're always feeling like you have to fight rather than communicate. That can be frustrating too. So being on the defensive at all times, just to try and survive. That's survival mode. So let's rate your communication. How comfortable do you feel sharing your feelings with your partner? How comfortable do you feel about hearing how your partner feels? Even if your partner is like, I'm unhappy, do you first go to, I need to rescue them? Or do you actually hear them out and hear what it is that's having them feel so unhappy? And do you ask them if there's, if you, so in some circumstances, people just need to be in that. They just need to stew in the unhappiness, and that's okay. Just allowing that is a gift. And sometimes you can even ask, like, is there something that you're aware of that could change this? Like, if you'd like it to change, are you aware of something that could change this? Is there something that I personally could do or be that could change this for you, right? So, and sometimes it's just something they got to do on their own, but giving the person space and actually asking if they would like to change that before assuming they would, I'm not happy. Okay, let's change that. No, that's not how it goes. Don't be sad. Everything's going to be okay. Think positive. I flipped the birds at those people. Everything's going to be okay. Be positive is such a like a demeaning way of dealing with people, or like, you've got this. I see that a lot when I look at posts and people are writing things where they're highly stressed. Maybe they've even, got like, they've got financial issues. Maybe they're going through things with their health. And people are like, thoughts and prayers, you've got this. You're strong. And I often think this person is crying out for help. Blatantly crying out for help, and the first thing you're doing is saying thoughts and prayers. I will, like, most of the time write to those people personally and say, do you feel like you're being seen and heard? Is there something I can offer you? I offer these things. Is there something I can just offer you to assist you in this? Because I saw your cry for help, and no, I don't think anybody should have to do it alone. You're strong. I'm strong too. I don't do it alone. I think it's bullshit, frankly, to think that you have to. So I started therapy very young. I was like 22. I never was like I gotta do it alone. There's things I like to do alone, and there are things that I prefer to do. I love collaborating. So yeah, collaborating and all sorts of stuff. So communication. How do you rate your communication? I went on a tangent there, guys. From 1 to 10, how do you rate your communication? with your partner. Intimacy is kind of big, right? Intimacy has some qualities unto itself. But let's just go with how you perceive intimacy. Is your intimacy from 1 to 10? How do you score it? 1 being not good at all, 10 being stellar. And you might consider intimacy to be sex. I'm telling you right now, that's not the gist of it. It doesn't have to do with body parts slapping together. However, if you want to interpret it that way, kudos to you. That's cool. Rate it your way. So trust. How do you feel about trust? Do you trust your partner, and do you trust yourself in relationship to be able to show up exactly how you would like to show up? Or do you feel like you twist yourself because you don't trust enough that if you do show up, that your partner will still be there? How do you feel about trust in your relationship? Do you trust your partner? Does your partner trust you? Do you trust you in relationship to your partner, and vice versa? How much fun do you have from 1 to 10? Like 1 being not at all and 10 being loads of fun. And do you have teamwork? So communication also, guys, can be, as much as it's like listening and actually hearing and having constructive, present conversations with your partner, communication can show up in so many different ways, right? It doesn't have to be that it's verbal. So you can do written. Like I was saying, I wrote to my husband because he's hard of hearing. So it's, if I know that I would like him to truly hear something, I'll usually write it to him so that he can definitely like digest it. And so I don't have to repeat it as well, because sometimes in repeating it, it loses the energy. So I'd like to put the energy behind it too. So your communication, how do you feel about that? So rate all of those. And if you feel like you're scoring pretty low or mediocre, like fives across the board, and you're like, holy cow, I'm kind of concerned my relationship might be on the rocks, and you'd like to have like a conversation about it, by all means, contact me through my website, mielitsayelenich.com, and let's have a chat and see what can be done. We're going to head to the next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspire Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Mielitsa Jelenic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Mielitsa Jelenic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Mielitsa every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Mielitsa Jelenic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@mielitsayelenic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. If you have been listening to this show and you've been enjoying it, and maybe you've been enjoying it for a really long time, but just didn't even know that you could do this for me, and I'd really appreciate it, can you go over to iTunes and review The Pleasure Zone there? Give me like a 5-star, 5 wickety whack star for me. I'd super appreciate that. Be so grateful, because all of that, every time you rate my show or click that you like it, send it to your friends to view, all of that stuff, commenting on all the places you can comment, like YouTube, all of that is incredibly helpful for me to know what you like to listen to, but also incredibly helpful for the network to know and collect data on what's going on. So I appreciate all of that. And I just appreciate the 5 stars because it makes me feel good about myself. So thank you. So before we totally jump back into closing up this show, I know that I have a lot of information on this and I'll probably do a follow-up as well. I think keeping to the basics, though, is like doing that rating that I had just given you guys. That will give you a basic idea if, you know, where are you at? Like, you know, how do you rate your communication, the intimacy, trust, fun, and teamwork from 1 to 10? And if you're rating from, you know, a lot of low numbers and you would like to go through that and you'd like to have some relationship coaching, sex and intimacy coaching, I'm also holistic health practitioner that I've been in practice for almost 30 years. And by all means, I would love to connect with you for so variety of reasons. So you can find me through MilicaJelenic.com and you can book a time with me. You can also just write to me through my website and send me an email. If you have questions or if you have anything you'd like me to address on the show, I'd love that too. I love getting ideas from listeners. It just helps me know that you're going to actually listen to the thing that you're interested in. Might as well create content that you guys want and enjoy. So one of the things I'd mentioned earlier, and I mentioned in the show description, was to look at when one person thinks everything is great and the other person is like, no, this isn't working so well. At this point, you know, it would be really helpful to do bigger assessments of your relationship and have maybe the partner who thinks everything is great, let them know that, you know, I think keeping it really simple, it's like, I'm really happy that you're happy in the relationship, but I'm struggling and I could really use having maybe a coach or somebody that's like a mediator work with us so that we can both be on the same page and I can be happy too, because I know that if you're happy, you want me to be happy too. I would hope you would want me to be happy too. So can we do something in order to make that happen? Unless you're at the point where you're like, I'm not happy and I'm so out of here, then honor that and find your exit strategy. I have done several shows on exit strategies. One of them I did with my mom, actually, who was really great at, is really great at exit strategies. So just start to have these simple conversations and check in with yourself and with your partner and use those. Remember how I mentioned the I feel statements rather than you make me mad? No, own it. I feel upset. And what I need right now is space, or I feel upset. And you can just give what you're feeling about to start to open up dialogue. I feel upset and judged, or I feel upset and criticized right now. That's how you feel. So a person can't say, well, no, you don't. Well, yeah, you do, because it's your feelings. And, you know, sometimes people will be on the highly defensive because they've been on the highly defensive for so long, they don't know how else to be. And sometimes it takes a while. And oftentimes it takes somebody to navigate that with you, to have somebody in the middle. And that is something I'm very good at. So if you would like to have somebody help you navigate those conversations and have you recheck in and see, are you willing to do the I feel statements rather than blame? And sometimes people, they just want to blame. That's up to them. Sometimes they just have decided it's over and they're like, the only thing that works in our relationship is the sex. Well, then you need to either have the bigger conversation and be willing to change things, or it's doomed, right? So if there's only one thing working, if 20% of the relationship is working and the other 80% is not, those ratios don't work, right? You need that 5 great things to maybe the one thing that you're working on or that you need to improve. That's great. Sometimes you'll have far more great things. And even as you mature, some things that you thought really mattered to you might start to change. And you're like, you know what? That's not significant. I'm just happy we're alive and we're together. 99.999% of the time, that's where I'm at. I'm just like, I'm just happy you're here in my life. And then there's those times like I had yesterday where I turn into a little bitch, and that happens. And I acknowledge that. And then I switch it up. And then I send a letter of gratitude and acknowledge my behavior. So remember to do that. Acknowledge what you've done, especially when you have any sensitivity to know that you could have hurt somebody. Don't pretend like it didn't happen. Acknowledge it and acknowledge what you sense about that.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.